I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Stout?
Here.
Councilmember De Leon?
Here.
Councilmember Nelson?
Here.
Councilmember Page?
Here.
So before we approve the agenda, I have an addition to make. We are going to have a presentation by Sergeant Lynch. So if you would like to make a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
I would like to add another amendment to the agenda.
Okay.
I move that we move item 4 from the consent agenda and add it to new business.
Okay.
Second.
And otherwise, a motion to approve the agenda with the two amendments.
A motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, so our first is presentation by Sergeant Lynch.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. Thank you for allowing me to stand before you tonight. I come to speak of something very important. Throughout history, there have been great men who have walked the earth with glorious mustaches.
Pardon us.
Men such as Hulk Hogan, Freddie Mercury, Burt Reynolds, and my favorite, Magnum P.I. This past November, members of the Enumclaw and Black Diamond Police Departments attempted to walk among those legends. They grew mustaches not to endure the daily jokes that they heard or the strange looks that they received as they patrolled their communities. They did it to raise money for an organization that I believe strongly in supporting. Since 2000, Vine Maple Place has served the southeast corner of King County by helping single-parent families with emergency housing needs, counseling, youth services, and financial literacy training. They help pick up the pieces many times from the circumstances that we as officers see on a daily basis. As an independent nonprofit charity, Vine Maple Place relies on donations of others to assist in the lives of those who need it most in our communities. And I've donated monthly to this organization for the past year myself. So when I had the idea of asking the officers in your police department to grow their mustaches to raise money for a charity, there was really only one on my list, Vine Maple Place. Each officer that participated donated $50 as a buy-in. And if they had to shave for any reason prior to December 1st, they were assessed a $75 fine. There were two of those. A GoFundMe account was set up, and members of our community stepped up to assist in our endeavor. So tonight, I would like to ask Julia Patterson of Vine Maple Place to step to the podium, as well as Chief Kiblinger and the officers that are in attendance. Come on up. You can stand right there. So, Julia, because we did this mustache thing and we were in pain most of the time, we all felt that it was worth it 100%. So we are going to give you this big fake check that's made out for $1,832.
Get around this way.
However, there were a couple of late donations today, so this was already written out, so it's actually
$1,902. Oh, nice. Oh, amazing. Yeah. All right. We need one more.
Yeah, let's move over to...
We need actually a picture of all of you guys that had your mustaches for entertainment.
Oh, my God.
This way.
They were atrocious.
Smile.
Oh. No, they didn't save their lives.
Thank you.
May I just make a couple comments?
Sure, very briefly?
Thank you. I was tickled no end when Sergeant Lynch commented that this was something that they were all going to do. We love our first responders and our police officers, and I only wish I had seen them all in their furry greatness at the end of last month. This is a tremendous contribution to Vine Maple Place on a number of different levels. From a purely financial position, it costs $33 for a night of safety and care, all the various services that Officer Lynch mentioned. And so this $1,900 is going to provide a tremendous amount of safety and help for these families. Just to let you know, at the end of fiscal year 19, so by the end of July, the generosity of this community had rescued 340 local families from homelessness. That represents over 720 children. And it's children like Violet, a little four-year-old girl who is living with her mom in the back of a U-Haul truck for months. And they are now safe. And mom is working hard to become stable and provide healing for her daughter. So those are the faces of the people that these officers have helped by their generosity. And so I just want to thank you all very much.
Great. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. So our next item on the agenda is confirmation of my reappointment of Stephen Jensen to the Planning Commission. You need to make a motion.
I make a motion to reappoint Steve Jensen to the Planning Commission.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I don't believe he's here tonight, so he asked if he had to be present, and we told him no. So, but he knew we were going to do that tonight. So the next item on the agenda would be the consent agenda.
And make a motion to accept the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. So it's now time for public comments. Persons wishing to speak to council, please step up to the podium and state your name and city of residence and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Is there anybody wishing to address council? Brock.
If I can read. I'm Brock Didi. I live in Black Diamond, and I help support our Black Diamond gym over here. So we got a new client at the gym. They're called Upward Basketball and Cheer. And they were playing at a church in Lake Sawyer, but they've been displaced this year. So they looked at our gym to come here and play basketball here. They support kindergartners, first and second graders. So it's small kids, and our baskets were a little tall for them. So part of the deal was to see if we couldn't get something that was a basket a little bit lower so that the littler kids could play and actually make a basket and not have to shoot up to the 10-footer. So I'd like to thank Kevin Esping for helping find some adjustable baskets that hang off the current baskets that we have in the gym. So what happens is they just they attach to the basket that's up there and then can lower down to the different levels. There's a backboard and a hoop. So it's just basically a lower basket for the younger kids. So we're able to get two of those, and that'll help. But they're over there right now doing tryouts. So they've got a bunch of little girls and little boys over there trying out for basketball and cheer. So we had to have something today. So we've got a standalone basket donated, and we were going to put that in the gym so that they could use that today. But when Tammy and I were over there trying to get it, this tall, wide, gigantic freestanding basketball hoop into the gym, it didn't fit. So we were able to get some guys from Public Works, Jesse and Justin and Dan helped out. So we had to remove the back board and the basket hoop from the stand. So they helped with that. We got it off, put it into the gym, put it all back together and set it up. So now they're able to do their tryouts today. So thank you to the Public Works team. That was awesome. And thanks for the city for helping support this. And now we're able to make the gym available to youngsters as well as, you know, the high school and older kids to play basketball. So that's awesome. Thank you very much.
Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment session. We have two public hearings tonight. We have the first one will be the proposed updates to the stormwater management plan. Mr. Botcher.
Thank you, Mayor. Scott will be presenting this item to the council tonight. And this is for the public hearing.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. So every year we have an update to our stormwater management program plan. So this is our 2020 update for next year. You'll notice in your packets we have two versions of it. We have a clean version and a red line version. If you're new to the plan, this is for the public as well. If you're new to the plan, you might want to stick to the clean version because it can be pretty messy in a way on the red line version. So this stormwater plan is a requirement of the Department of Ecology. There's no set date as to when we have to have it done. It just says annually. I just wanted to take you through a couple of parts of the plan, just kind of let you know what it contains. So we have several areas that the plan needs to address. It needs to address monitoring our stormwater system. So that includes record keeping and that sort of thing. New to the plan this year is we have to do a stormwater management action plan, which entails monitoring a portion of the city stormwater system. That might be pretty involved, but we don't have to do that for a few years, so we'll be able to learn more about that. Public education, how we educate the public and businesses in the area. So you see MS4 mapping. MS4 is the Municipal Separate Storm Sewer System. There are different types of sewer systems. There's the stormwater sewer and the sanitary sewer. And in some jurisdictions, they have them combined. We don't have those combined here. That's why it's called separate. So we have to map that, document that, and keep track of certain things on maps. Illicit discharge detection and elimination. So that's just looking for things that shouldn't be going into the stormwater system and getting rid of those things. Controlling runoff from new development, redevelopment, and construction sites. That's just monitoring things as they're built, making sure that water is getting clean before it leaves the site or stays on the site. Operations and maintenance, that's what we do internally, our public works staff, as well as other departments as they support us in that. And then source control for existing development, that's a new one for us. Typically, in the past, we've had to monitor private stormwater systems that were connected to the city system. Now we have to monitor anything that could potentially drain to the city system. So a parking lot from a business, we have to make sure we're getting clean stormwater runoff from there. So this stormwater management program plan, it details what is required of us in the stormwater permit from Department of Ecology. It shows what the due dates are, what we need to do to address those due dates and meet those deadlines. As part of this program, we do need to receive input from the public. That's why we're having this public hearing tonight. And with that, we are willing to listen to any comments that we might have.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions? Is there anybody from the audience that would like to make comments? Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh,
I was reading through it earlier today. And,
sorry about that.
I thought the idea of just putting in more public education into this would be really interesting, and I was looking at what would that entail. Would it be something in partnership with the state or the county, or what kind of education outreach are you looking at for this project?
We've mainly been doing newsletter articles and putting things up on the website more than anything. We have our own internal resources that we've created. Other jurisdictions do have information that we can hand out as well, and they let you tweak things to make it your own and that sort of thing. So that's kind of where we are. One thing you'll see in the plan is eventually we will have to utilize social marketing. So that will be one way to get the message out as well.
Councilmember Deedy.
So also one other way is the mayor does a newsletter every month, so we can also put items, letters in the water bill, either during the time the mayor puts it out or any other time. And like you stated that social media is one thing, so we'll have to figure out that because right now the city technically does not have a social media account, no Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, so we'll have to look into the details of doing all that.
Thank you. So is there anybody that would like to address council about the stormwater management plan? Kristen?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Kristen Bryant, and I live in Bellevue. I grew up in Black Diamond along Ginder Creek, and very occasionally, like as in every dozen years, I'm guessing, salmon will make it up to Ginder Creek at the top of Roberts Drive. And it would be wonderful if our culverts that are blocking fish from getting to that point were removed and any of the pollutants getting in were treated and the water was more conducive to those salmon making it up. I commented a number of times on the stormwater program and want to reinforce that it is really important to clean up the water, do things that can be done to keep it clean, you know, reducing the impervious surfaces or not adding them. In particular, on this plan, Mr. Hannes mentioned the increased monitoring requirements that will be coming in future years. And the comment I'd like to make is to consider finding out ways to start that as soon as possible rather than waiting until it's an absolute requirement. And what came to mind is the recent toxic algae blooms that have happened at Lake Sawyer and monitoring upstream from them at the construction at the Rock Creek Bridge, any other upstream sources or other sources around the lake that might have contributed to that, because it was an unusual event. It's my understanding that the algae blooms on Lake Sawyer haven't happened for quite some time before these recent toxic ones. That's not right. There's been other toxic algae at Lake Sawyer before this year.
The tests were negative.
Sorry?
The tests were negative.
There was a new one. The signs were posted recently, and it seems to be perhaps the placement or timing of the testing. There were two incidents of dogs getting sick, is my understanding. So regardless, I think the monitoring is, you know, going to be a requirement for a reason. It's important to know whether your stormwater is getting cleaner, whether there are, you know, sources of pollutants. And so I think that that is a really good thing to start sooner. And I know that a lot of people, you know, have commented about keeping Lake Sawyer clean. And it's all upstream from there as Rock Creek and Ginder Creek, and anything we can do in the stormwater plan to increase their, you know, environmental health would be good. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment, or close this public hearing. So we have another public hearing on the proposed sewer rate increase. Ms. Miller.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I'm here tonight to take public input on the sewer rate increase. During the budget, we discovered that the sewer was really using all their cash balance and would soon be in the negative. And it became very important that we really look at the sewer fund. So the city hired Mr. Ashley Emery. He's a Peninsula Financial Consulting. He did our rate study in 2014, did a really good job. I worked with him over a couple months to take all the budget numbers and develop scenarios that would show different aspects of the rate. If you had growth, which revenue lines might increase, which expenditure lines might increase and build those into a model so he could do a work study here and demonstrate how different growth scenarios would affect the rates and also how different percentages of rate increases would affect the rates in conjunction with the different growth scenarios. So we looked at rate increases from approximately 20% the first year, and then looked at, we do have growth. Let's go ahead with a moderate kind of growth. We looked at 100 homes a year as a very moderate kind of the level we're using right now. That seemed to work. We demonstrated that to council and spent quite a bit of time on November 14th reviewing that. At the end, the council recommended that we do a 15% rate increase for 2020. That's $3.22 a month for a resident. They looked then at a tiered approach. So the following year, then we could reduce it to 10%, and the following year, 5%. And then after that, go with 3%. We plan to evaluate that every 2 years and come back to council. If growth were to increase faster than we thought, we might be able to lower some of those percents as we go on. But this should really make the sewer fund whole and keep the rates so that we don't have to come back every few years and have rate increases before council, but really stabilize the fund so it will pay the future operating cost. Tonight is just a public hearing to take public input. We have the adoption scheduled for next council meeting. It wouldn't take effect until January, which would go out on the bills we mail out at the end of January. So I'm here to answer any questions.
Any questions? Is there anybody wishing to testify on this public hearing? Seeing no one, I will close this public hearing. The next item on the agenda is going to be the resolution for the final plat approval for 10 Trails Parcel V24. Mr. Williamson.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, council members. Just before the holiday, Thanksgiving, I had sent notice to you and sent you a draft staff report. And with that memo, I had told you that there were some things that we needed to continue to work on to update through that process. So if we take a step back and we understand what a final plat really does and the process and the time constraints that city staff is mandated by state law, when we hit where the holiday lines up with the council meetings or in between that, and then we have to get our packet material in earlier, and we're still trying to finalize things, that's why we had sent you the original draft and the supplemental information. I do appreciate, and we had talked earlier, and I do appreciate the emails, Councilmember Stout, about pulling this off the agenda, because I was going to suggest that we do that so we can have this conversation and walk through the changes that were due. So on the original staff report that we sent to you, actually with us, there were some items that we told you that we still needed, and those items were the CC&R sections, which is the Homeowners Association sections. Those need to be done, and those need to be approved by the city attorney. City Attorney Linhan is here tonight, and he has approved those, and those we'll see in the new supplemental information that I gave you today and that you have processed. The other items were they still needed staff signatures. Staff is the last to sign. So as the experts, our consultants of engineering, surveying, all that process, fire chief, through that process, staff is always the last to sign. So we told you we still needed to do that in your updated packages. Today you see you have my signature, you have Dan Irvin's signature, and you have Alex Campbell's signatures of this. And then we're going to go through the packet. I think that'll be helpful if we just walk our way through the packet together. And then the exhibits. So the exhibits were things that we, is a lengthy thing that we still need to do
But how are the actual exhibits? Well, we probably along with the final staff, but the documents were there. So those were the things that we were still waiting for. The key element to any final plat is to make sure that it meets the preliminary plat's requirements, health, safety, and all those things, and the requirements that staff has written and the hearing examiner has supported, enforced, rewritten, do all those things, right? But one of the key elements to a final plat is the surveying. Right? Because the surveying sets the meets and bounds of all the lots, the radiuses of all the corners. They are very detailed to make sure that the periods are in the right spots, that the comma is in the right spots. Even though myself and Alex and David, we look through that, that's why we hire parametrics to go through the surveying. Again, with the Thanksgiving holidays, processing, parametrics was busy through that process. We were kind of trying to get this done to meet our regulatory time to get this process done. So on your desks that I dropped a bunch of paperwork, so I bombed you before we got here, you will see a example of the little sheet here. It should be sitting separate. Yes, Melissa, you have that there. So if we go through this, you will see these are, and they'll see it's highlighted in red. I know the items are. But when we wrote in our original staff report and in our note, we told you these were small Scrivener's errors. Mm-hmm. So it's exactly what the surveyor wants. You were off by a few percentage here. For example, if you turn to sheet 5 of 9, if we could all turn to that summary of sheet 5 from 9. The top part of those lots where you see lots 11 through lots 17, there's a radius on there. So they needed to add that little tiny R. That was what was missing, right? So these are very just need the basis of the bearing. These are things that the surveying department was working with the applicant to go through. You'll turn to page 6 of 9. Again, they need the curve table for that radius there, right, as the road comes in. They need the little R to add here, very minute Scrivener's type things. So that is kind of the overall what we were waiting for the survey department to go through. So that was what we were waiting for. Once that happened, city staff is then okay to serve to approve the final plat. So in the big packet that you have, right, that you all have there, and we sent out today, did you want me to go more into detail of those changes? Because I can walk you through. Does that explain enough on those maps that were?
When you just flipped us through?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, no, I'm good.
Okay, everybody good? All right. Then as we go into the packet that I got, that you now have, right, that is now in final form. So what changed in here, as you obviously see, is our signatures are there on the packet.
Andy, is this what you sent us?
Absolutely.
Electronically?
Yeah. So I sent this electronically to all of you, 10 o'clock or something this morning. I do appreciate the council members who got in contact with me. Christiana, this is her new one. She wanted to really understand, so she came down and actually met with me, and we actually toured the site because she kind of wanted to understand the process of that. So you'll see our signatures are there. Mr. Irvin is through the Public Works, myself as Community Development, Alex as the Senior Planner.
That's page 14 of 15.
Thank you, David. We have on file the calculations for all the bonds of the items that they're bonding for, streetlights, landscaping, those final items that we let them bond. You'll see Mr. Irvin has accepted those bond calculations, and we'll have those bonds before we sign and finalize the document. You'll also see in there, there is...
And just to clarify on that, too, the resolution that's before you to approve the plat says that they have to actually provide the bonds
yes.
in final form, consistent with these requirements before it can be recorded.
So. Right. So that is being done. Also, you'll see in here approval from Mr. Irvin, again, on the final plat approvals. A lot of the documents that are in here go all the way back to PP1A, so we're bringing those... in here, the lift station, you'll see in the packet, has been done, is approved, is accepted by the city, is functioning. You'll see there are letters in here that the fire hydrants comply with the International Fire Code, and you'll also see within the packet an acceptance by Chief Smith of the final plat. We sit down with Chief Smith. We go through all the roads. Chief Smith is part of our review group when we go through the preliminary plats to make sure the roads are compliant with what he wants. Ultimately, then, when we go to final plat, we meet with the fire department and go through one more time and make sure that the fire flow, we provide him the fire flow of those hydrants, and we also provide him the spacing, and then Chief Smith sends his letter, and he will ultimately sign on the plat. In there, you'll see we have approval from King County from way back in 2017 on the sewer, which is part of that. You'll see we've done the baseline monitoring of V24 for that process. You'll see the phosphorus baseline monitoring plan is also included. You'll see way back to 2013 where Mr. Hoppen was the CEPA official and kind of approved this process here. You will see from Madrona Law Group, Mr. Linehan's conditions on the CCNRs and his approval of that process. You will see in there a letter from Barb Kincaid to Oak Point applying the transfer of the TDRs and that that process was done because that was a condition of the preliminary plat. We have that. That will be recorded when they record the plat, as we have the city attorney can... You know, he's part of that process, and we have determined that as the right process. There is King County title reports within the packet. There's conservation easements within the packet. Legal descriptions within the packet. Towards the back, you'll see there is the selection. There's the traffic concurrency within this packet also. You'll see in the back of it, I would want to draw your attention to...
Andy, where's the traffic one?
So the traffic's like right in the middle of this, that we meet traffic concurrency.
Is that an exhibit?
So there's, yes, there's WSDOT Exhibit N. M is the WSDOT on 169, which was Exhibit M. Let me find the other one for you.
Is the other one N? Is
yes. Yeah. Yes. And in that 169, you'll see where ultimately when this was originally done under PP1A, the interim thing was the signalization. You'll see I have WSDOT's approval, a channelization plan, and signal. I think most of the council members are well apprised of the situation that WSDOT has now changed their process, and we are deep in negotiations on the roundabout. I'll just leave that at that. You'll see Exhibit N is where we met our requirement to do the channelization of 288th and 216th. At this point, we had to provide a safe harbor. So we went and repainted the striping at that intersection. This has been done a few plats, but we wanted to make sure it's within this thing. Ultimately, that will get redone. You'll see in there where we accepted the work, and you'll also see where we've released the bonds of those. You'll see Exhibit Q is the off-site water main extensions, which I think... It's a long day. The water mains, or the regional water mains down Roberts Drive, I think all of you remember we did that a long time ago, but that's part of this here. Exhibit P is the fire station exhibit. where the council accepted the alternative site after we met on site with the fire chief and walked through that process. And Chief Smith helped direct us to another site that he felt and his team felt would be better for that. And then we went and negotiated that with Oak Point. And I think if most of you remember, we've done an appraisal on that piece of property. We've agreed to the terms of the purchase price of that property. So that's well on its way. Also, in there, you'll see the conceptual site plan, which is part of that, the overlay towards the end. You'll see an acceptance of this site and the property by Chief Smith is in there. So I think all in all, if we can, if there's any other questions, we've walked through the process. We've showed you we've met all the compliance. In our staff report, you'll see we went through all the conditions and answered all the conditions and where they were and how the links were to build through that. But I do apologize that this seems a little bit more hectic than my normal calm process that I like to do. This is the responsibility of city staff to get this to you in a timely manner with the holidays and the way we were. This, if it feels disjointed, is clearly city staff's. This is not an Oak Point's issue. They provided us the information. They were responding to us. Obviously, we are not, we're a full city staff, but there are outside consultants, and they do take holidays, and they do take, you know, that time around Thanksgiving, and it just seemed to be a little clunky, this one. But that is fully my responsibility to get it to you, and we've delivered it to you. So, any questions?
Councilmember Deedy?
So, thanks, Sandy. I think it's great that you went through this, for the simple fact also that we have pretty much six brand new council members or soon to be on here. my concern was, you know, that there was some minor amendments that, you know, if we passed it without everything being done now, everything's mm-hmm. done now.
Yes.
Because in the past, it's always been everything's going to be done
yep.
and presented to you. And that'll give you a chance to go through it all, citizens to go through it all. So I was a little concerned mm-hmm. about, you know, those items being not done. And generally, minor amendments, well, all minor amendments don't come to the council. So we don't necessarily see anything from staff that says, hey, today we did this minor amendment. We don't see that. So I was concerned with what would, you know, mm-hmm. what would be those minor amendments turn into, you know, even though staff was okay with that. So at the beginning, today I called Attorney Linehan and talked to him on my way home. And he just, you know, he eased my concern and he said, you know, he'd get information for me. So, so I was happy to see that everything was done. And I hope you know that, you know, even though council in December would all like to go home, we are all here to do our job, and we would come back at any time in December to get anything passed for you. You know, if it came in the last hour and you needed some, we could always do an emergency council meeting to get it done and get here so that if your consultants were a little bit behind in getting that information out, that we would be here to help and pass, you know, okay. what needs to be done. So I apologize. I didn't get a chance to call you. I've been pretty busy. But just like I said, I'm happy to see that it's all done.
Right.
And that you walked through it.
And I know most of you have worked with me for quite a while. I think, you know, I wouldn't have brought something. I would have pulled this from the agenda today if I didn't feel comfortable, if I didn't think that we had the proper signatures and it was in the right form. Spent most of the afternoon with David I spent a lot of time with David on the phone working through issues on this. But we would have pulled it. And earlier, I think last week or the week before, me and David had discussed about making sure that, you know, let's just do the presentation. And then Councilmember Stout said that she would really was going to pull this. And I emailed her back and said, yeah, I absolutely agree. That's kind of what we wanted to do, just to walk through the process. to understand to get the timeliness of it. So I do appreciate, though, your offer. If we regulatory need to have an extra meeting, that just might happen, because there are sometimes, as you know, there's 5 weeks in a month, and if it hits us, we can't miss that. I'm obligated by state law. I think you all have gotten a memo from us about that. I'm obligated, so I do appreciate that, and we might have to do that. So,
Councilmember Stout.
Thank you for the good presentation. We've had most of the information for quite some time, and most of it is not new to us. I know, Christiana, it's probably all foreign territory. I'm not sure how you, Steve, and Patrick feel about it, but I mean, we've had most of the information. The other thing is that I know that a final plat approval is an administrative or a ministerial responsibility of the council. We depend on the staff, and that's why those signatures are so important to us. So I have no concern that, you know, we had anything like shoved into us at the last minute. It was just, you know, the last little dotting the I's and crossing the T's, right? So I did spend a good amount of time today reading the new bits. I skimmed through the exhibits, which are, you know, things that we've seen before, and I've read them before, but I didn't feel like I needed to read them word for word today because they haven't changed since 2017 or 11 or whenever they were written. Whenever I read these things, I'm always just so impressed with the professionalism of the real, true professionals, the engineers, the people on the ground who are out there doing whatever they're doing, sitting at their desk, writing those tiny little numbers. Are they bigger when they write them? Because
why do you think Seth squints all the time?
I got out my trifocals and then I took some Tylenol, but you know.
Right.
Anyway, I appreciate your work, and I don't feel rushed at all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilmember Edelman.
Well, I wanted to just echo what Councilmember Stout just said. You know, the staff, your staff, Seth's staff, and the staff in general, never get enough credit for the hard work that you do, because it's sausage making. And you guys are you're on the front lines getting the job done. So what we see are nice, concise pieces of paper, but all the stuff that went into getting it there and slogging up there, you know, I really do appreciate it. There's a lot of work that goes into this. And Tammy and I have been on the council for a long time, and we have been through all the pain of going through, do we do a final plat? Does somebody want to object to us doing a final plat? And so that's why in the last, I don't know, what's it been, 4 years, 3 years? I don't know. We went from having you come up and do a presentation each time, putting it into the consent agenda, because it is ministerial. All the work has been done. There is nobody up here that is an expert that can dispute anything that Andy and his team and our attorney have done. So, well, I really appreciate everything that you've done and your presentation tonight. I would welcome future final plats to go back into the consent agenda.
Yes, and that's, you know, we knew this was, and we wanted to keep that process of the consent agenda, and then obviously the pulling it forward to keep that continuity of it on the consent agenda.
And there may be times in the future when you need to do it again.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, this, I think, was really, because we do have basically five council members with 2 years or less experience. And so there's a lot of new things coming forward for you guys. So,
Councilmember Page?
So you just heard from the two people that have been involved for a while, and now you're going to hear from the person that's less than 90 days. And so I got your email today and opened up the wrong document, which was 106 pages, and about freaked out. It's not, you know, I totally echo what they said. In the little bit that I've worked with you, you have a lot of credibility with me. But my personality, and maybe it's because I'm an accountant by trade, so is you know, trust but verify, right?
Sure, absolutely.
And if I'm sitting in this chair, I need to feel like at least I know what the heck I am voting on. And so your 15-page summary was really comforting when I opened that one up, because I felt like,
yes,
I could at least come in here with some comfort, right?
Right.
But my only – so that's kind of, you know, the long way of saying I know you work really hard, and I know that these things are – sometimes get crunched and stuff. But if there's something that you can feed your neophyte members here a little bit, you know, sooner, or, you know, give us some cliff notes about, you know, what to look for. I know the email that you sent me, you know, with the memo kind of outlining the final plat process, and that was very helpful for me too. So I guess that's my only point is, you know, I'm maybe speaking just for myself, but maybe speaking for multiple councilmen.
Right, and that's why I sent the staff report, kind of the notes along. So obviously knowing there would the three new council members that would be here, that this was kind of my, like, this is what we're going to work on. I wanted to give you the information ahead of time, and then knowing you, knowing we were going to tweak at the end to get this information. Generally, I think that's been the past. I mean, the council members that have been here the best, I generally have this a few weeks before you come, and I invite you to come and walk the plat and look at the stuff to really kind of understand what we're doing there. This was just one of those weird anomalies, just the way that the holidays and trying to get this and trying to get this closed out for the end of the year. So
I totally get it.
So don't think that this is how we normally do it. This is, you know, but this is the legal process. This is the right process. It's, I'm very confident in our work and stuff, but generally it's more of a communicative error.
Right. No, I totally get it. And the only difference is that we're, Councilmember Stout has seen these things and doesn't need to look at the 106 pages. I kind of feel compelled to look at them. So,
absolutely.
Councilmember Nelson.
Thank you. There's been a process where, I mean, I've been sitting on this side, but I've been paid close attention to what's gone on. To even have a city staff right now for the past 6 or 7 years is just a miracle, but they've done such good work to let it be done right and cross the T's, dot the I's. The council members that have been here a long time have been just abused to get things done right, and I thank them for sticking it out. But it's reassuring to know that you're still here, Andy. We have a long time.
Thank you.
And you've proven yourself. I mean, I don't know. I just remember times where I thought we had to call security to get you out of here because they didn't want to talk about you, but it's just it's cool to sit on this side seeing the final work. That stuff that was done in 2011 and 2016, I remember all that stuff and all the drama that you had to go through. And I did the same thing. I opened up 104 pages and I saw the years and I'm like, okay, it's not all new stuff. But the little things that you had to change and the little minutiae things, what people don't realize, if they don't pay attention to it, it's not you half the time. It's the state or the county that wants you to jump through more flaming hoops than anything to get it done right. And you guys do it with just, I mean, it's incredible how it gets done. So I have 100% faith in the staff and what you guys have done. And this thing is well put together, and I thank you for it.
Thank you.
Well, in that case, I move to adopt resolution number 19-1326, approving the final plat for parcel V24, 10 Trails Phase 1A, PLN 18-0039, setting forth supportive findings and fixing a time when the final plat shall become effective.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Next item on the agenda is an ordinance regarding utility rate structure policy, and Mr. Botcher is going to be presenting this.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Council. This is some policy work that the Public Works Committee has been working on for a month or so. And I thank you, the Public Works Committee, for their careful attention and good input on working through these issues. The primary goals we were trying to accomplish here was we were wanting to make sure that all of our residential customers are treated the same. We had a group, and this ordinance really affects residential customers who are part of some type of multifamily or multi-unit and pay their bills to a landlord. But they were billed as, the landlord was billed as a commercial customer. So this shifted the structure so that they would be treated the same as every other residential customer. It doesn't make much difference on their bills, but unless they're really low customers, really low in consumption, their bill might go up a little bit. If there was it's a high consumption, their bill would probably go down. The other thing we were doing is moving the utility rates into a summary schedule that would be adopted by resolution for easier administrative management. Then we're also cleaning up some old reference language that for consistency with the current city positions, and then also opening up the eligibility for residents that are on a single meter in some type of multifamily facility, that they would be eligible for the Lifeline program. So those were the four things that we worked on, made various amendments. We held a public hearing on November 21st. We had one comment from Jake Bond, and he was bringing up that his customers and he had metered all of his customers individually now, that they have a lower consumption than the average in the city. But we did not, that was not a goal of this policy change, to get into the structure of, in comparison within a user group, of low consumers versus high consumers. We already have some built-in equity with our current system that has a base fee, fixed fee, plus a consumption rate for a total bill. So the consumption rate is also a tiered rate. So people that do use a lot of water already pay significantly more money. So there's some built-in equity regarding that comment. But if that was something that the council at some point wanted to explore in more detail, that would be, it's a different study. So I wanted to address that comment. This ordinance amends four different sections in the code of the water utility section, sewer utility section, and the stormwater utility section. So, thank you.
Is there any questions?
I have a comment.
Councilmember Stout.
This was a tricky process, and I appreciate the Public Works staff working really hard on it. It seems like it shouldn't be very tricky, but it really was, and especially getting the language of the ordinance correct was kind of a process. And sometimes there were just words, like a word, that would really make a huge difference. Anyway, I just appreciated the process and that we kind of struggled through and hashed out every little sentence until we felt like we had gotten to the right place. And by we, I mean the Public Works staff with the council, you know, putting in our 2 cents here and there during our committee meeting. I guess my ultimate comment is it was fairly complicated, but it seems like it came out to be a fairly simple, reasonable, and more equitable ordinance for the citizens. So I really appreciate that. And the really big thing here is that this opens up an opportunity for quite a few more citizens to be eligible for the Lifeline program. And that's really important when you're considering it's 50% off a good portion of their utility bill. We don't have any control over the King County part, but the part that belongs to the city can really be helpful to our most vulnerable citizens. So thank you for that hard work.
So I'll make a motion to adopt Ordinance 19-1133, amending Chapters 1304, 1320, 1324, and 1402 of the Black Diamond Municipal Code.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is an ordinance adopting the 2020 operating budget. Ms. Miller.
Thank you, Council and Mayor. Tonight, we're before you again with an ordinance to adopt our budget. We've had a lengthy process. We've had four public hearings, or four work studies, two public hearings, and we've had Mr. Goodwin had some good comments at the last council work study or public hearing, so we appreciate that and always appreciate the council input during the public hearings. Tonight, we're here to adopt the ordinance with the budget. The ordinance is attached, but there is one correction. The exhibit, which is the salary schedule, which is Exhibit A, it's the very last page. When we copied that over, it was still the 2019 salary schedule. It is correct in the budget document. It's on page 57. But that exhibit, so I'll hand that out to you right now. So if you adopt tonight, please adopt the ordinance and the new Exhibit A, which is the 2020 salary schedule.
Are there any questions?
I make a motion to approve Ordinance Number 19-1134, adopting the 2020 budget with the amended 2020 salary schedule.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So the next item on the agenda is a contract with the Madrona Law Group. Mr. Linehan was formerly with a different law group, but he has been our attorney for several years, and I thought the continuity and the experience and the history he had with us was very important. And so I've selected him as our new law group, and he will be our primary attorney. And he moved with four other attorneys, and they will have some other changes, I'm sure, along the way. But I'd like you to approve, confirm the contract. Councilmember Oglesby.
Mayor, may I just interrupt? Would you
sure.
like me to step outside? If it's more comfortable for you to talk without me present, I'm happy to excuse myself. But if you're fine with me sitting here, I'll
no, we'll
I think you're okay.
You
you're all
okay.
right.
I just didn't want you to feel uncomfortable if you wanted to say anything.
Councilmember Oglesby.
I just want to say, in the last 2 years of working with you, you've always been right there, ready to pick up the phone, answer any questions with us. I'm very confident in your service now with your own law firm. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Congratulations. And I look forward to working with the next 2 years with you. I think you do a great job for the city. You keep us right in line. You're very honest with us. You're straightforward. And I am full confidence in your service.
Councilmember Edelman.
Well, dittos. But also, I want to personally thank you for sticking it out with the mayor and Tammy and me during those horrific years. We could never have survived it without your help and your guidance, and that's why we are where we are today. So I wish you well, and I'm going to echo. I mean, we're really proud of you. That's a huge thing to have to step out and start your own business. Congratulations.
Councilmember Deedy.
All right, so I'll ask the uncomfortable questions. Mm-hmm. Echo everything. I think you're awesome. You always answer my phone calls. I'm sure sometimes you think, oh, my goodness, Karen. But, so you're coming from a pretty fairly sized law firm from Kenyon Dyson who seemed to have a lot of connections, a lot of other services within their law firm. So that we could, if we needed a specialty in another field, we were able to get that. So how will you be able to offer that to us as we were getting that from Kenyon, from their law firm?
Right.
So if you could just answer.
Sure. So my four colleagues who came with me were all my former partners at Kenyon Decent. And they were bringing with them all the expertise, of course, that they had. At our former firm. So we have Kim Pratt, who is one of the top two or three land use attorneys in the state. She's joining our firm as well. Anne-Marie Soto, who many of you probably know. She's a public records expert, open government expert, has an undergraduate degree in land use and city planning. Rachel Turpin has been the Tukwila city attorney for a number of years. She's a labor and employment expert, as well as in public contracting and open government issues. Eileen Kiefer is one of the most, she's going to love it when I say this, nerdy utility lawyers you've ever met. She just loves a good public works utilities project to dig into, franchises and the like. So I feel like my partners that came with me, we were actually, other than Mr. Kenyon himself, we were the five most senior attorneys at the firm. So I feel like you're still going to get the same teamwork that you've always been able to rely on in the past.
Okay, so that's what I wanted to hear. Because, you know, if you've read the contract, it states that, you know, your pay is still the same. Yes. I just want everybody to understand, you know, we're still getting top service. We're right. Still getting the best. and also, you know, you have in there, that we won't be charged, which we were charged, for legal research database, anything done. So that's actually probably a big savings for the city.
Yeah, those electronic databases can be quite expensive if they're passed through. We consider that our overhead. We don't consider that something that should be charged as an extra expense. That's just part of our overhead, and so we're not going to pass that on to the city.
And then I knew where the law firm was before. So where are you located? So if I do need to go to the office or any of us.
Sure.
Where to go?
So we're still looking for permanent space. We are looking in the kind of Bellevue, Factoria, Eastgate, Issaquah corridor along I-90. That's kind of centrally located to where we all live. We currently have temporary space in an office building right there in that Eastgate area, kind of near the Eastgate Park and Ride, if anybody knows where that is. We call that a virtual space. It's our mail drop. We have conference rooms there we can use. We'll mostly be working both in our homes and in city halls because we spend a lot of time with you guys and with our other clients at city hall. But anytime you guys want to get together, I can either meet you here or we can meet at our offices in Bellevue, or I can meet you at a Starbucks, or I can meet you at wherever you like. So.
Great. And,
but we are looking for a permanent space. It's the commercial real estate market there is super tight right now. There's very little even available. So it may take us a few months to find something.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Councilmember Stout.
Mr. Linehan, I would be much more concerned if we were hiring a new unknown attorney tonight. Black Diamond may be a fairly small city, but we are complicated.
You are.
I don't know if anybody would want to apply.
You have dealt with our issues professionally, and we've been very pleased with your work.
Thank you.
Now, talking about your final space, I see some Oak Point people behind you leaning over like, wow, we could offer them. I don't know if our neighborhood is very centrally located for you, but I wouldn't be surprised if they knock on your door a little bit. But congratulations on working in your own firm. And Madrona is easier to pronounce than Kenyan Deason.
But I hope so.
Whatever the case. So thank you and welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Councilmember Nelson.
You've been a whooping post for a few years and stuck it out. And to open your own office out of all you've been through and all you've done, just what I've seen here, I don't know anything else besides Black Diamond. I can't speak on any other city or any other. But I've watched other faux attorneys come sit there and try and take over when you needed to be there, and you did a great job, and you're still here doing a great job. And all we're getting is a new name, but same great attorney, so I don't see a problem.
I make a motion to adopt Resolution 19-1327 approving a two-year contract with Madrona Law Group, PLLC, for City Attorney Legal Services.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
So time for department reports. Chief Smith.
Good evening, Council, Mayor. I'll make this quick. So run reports, so there actually had a fire in town. So small fire. It was like Sunday night, but it was a deck fire. Somebody was out smoking on their deck and discarded a cigarette carelessly, and it started the deck on fire and in the back wall of the house. About $1,100 in damage. So that was engine 98, engine 92, and a Maple Valley fire engine came to that. So EMS calls 19, hazardous conditions 1, service call 1, good intent 1, false call 1, 21 calls, 1.5 per day. So a little bit about, I told you that was engine 98, engine 92, and a Maple Valley engine that came to that. So in King County, especially in South King County, everything is dispatched via computer. It's computerized dispatch, and it's built. Everything's built in, so the computer says here is the nearest fire engine or nearest aid car to that call, regardless of whose it is, regardless if it's Black Diamonds, Maple Valleys, Eden Claws. That's the one that gets dispatched, and that's how we take care of everybody in King County the best, because we're sending the closest unit and getting that. So we're sharing all of our resources all over King County. So if you look at the bottom of this page in the blue, there is a slide from my chief's report that I give to our board every month. And this talks about mutual aid. So you can see there that there's the agencies, and those are the agencies that we typically share mutual aid with. Eden Claw, Puget Sound Fire, Maple Valley, we've stricken that because they're part of Puget Sound Fire now. Mm-hmm. VRFA's Valley Regional Fire Authority, and Fire District 47 up there. So if you look at that, we actually we've provided 137 incidents where we've gone and helped another fire department, and we've had 67 where someone has come and helped us, which seems, oh, well, gee, that's not very fair. But it is, because that's how it works. Even Seattle Fire Department uses mutual aid. So we're all in this together. And I can tell you, it didn't used to be this way. I've been doing this for a long time. It used to be. I can remember I was over at Paulsboro for a while, and they had a city fire engine, and there was also a fire district there. And the city engine was not allowed to leave the city. So, you know, and that's the way it used to work. And I worked with, I was with District 40 up outside of Renton, and we never helped each other out. So all of us working together makes our community much more safer, because whoever, if there's an incident, whoever's the closest to that is going to go. So a lot of times you may see a Maple Valley fire engine in here, and a lot of times we see a Black Diamond or a Mountain View fire engine in Puget Sound. So, and people don't care. Red fire truck shows up, and that's all they care. Another thing, we're really getting really close to purchasing your fire engine. A couple of minor details, working with our lawyer and with your lawyer, and working out some final details, and then we'll be sending our specs out to probably three vendors and see what we get back after that. That way we have the choice of three vendors that we can purchase from. Speaking of fire apparatus, our apparatus repair. So we've had a garage at our Fire Station 95 forever. We've always worked on our own vehicles and your vehicles. So starting January 1, we are part of the what's called the Garage Consortium in South King County. So almost every single fire department now is part of that. So together, we've joined together, and together we have like 20 mechanics. And there's a parts department, and it's a really good deal, and it'll work a lot better. And we are still going to maintain our garage. We will have two mechanics in our garage, but they will be the consortium's employees, which is good, because that's two less employees that I have now. So, so anyway, we'll start that January 1, and we think it's going to work really well for us and help with our apparatus repair. It's probably going to cost a little bit more money. Might. We don't know yet. But, we will have better service, and our repairs will be better, I think. And everything will be working correctly all the time. I'm in contact with Liberia, Africa, right? And so I talked to the deputy chief the other day. They have one fire engine for the whole country of Liberia. And they had a fire the other day, and they couldn't get it started. So we don't want to have that. So, you know, we have more than one fire engine. That's good. But I can't imagine having one fire engine for a whole country. Kind of strange. We're hoping to help them fix that. That's all I've got. Anybody have anything else? Yes.
I think we probably ask this every time, mm-hmm. but once that fire truck gets ordered, mm-hmm. what's the time frame after that?
About 9 months.
9 months.
Yep. And you'll know when it gets ordered, because you'll be doing that process right here.
Yeah.
Okay, and you'll see some of those specifications and what that truck's going to look like. And,
great.
And during that whole process, we will keep you updated, because we'll have to send a couple folks to the plant for pre-construction. We'll have to send them mid-construction. We send people to go look at it before they cover everything up so we can inspect it, and then a final delivery inspection at the end. So they'll be taking pictures, and I'll make sure that you folks see those. So
are we talking about maybe about a year from now?
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing. Yeah, I'm thinking by January of 2021, we'll have a new fire engine in town.
Well, aim for December so you can take it on the
Santa Okay,
Claus.
Yes, that would be good, huh?
Santa Claus route.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, we'll shoot for that. I'll tell them it has to be here by the 24th of December.
Exactly.
No, it has to be before that.
Before that.
Go do the
end of November, by Thanksgiving of 2020.
You can do an extra Santa run.
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah. So.
Thank you for all your work.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, one thing, like having the fundraiser for shaving the beards, just a thought, I say you start a public auction of who gets to be the first rider inside the fire truck.
Okay.
And donate it to a local charity.
Yeah. That'd be
fun. Nice. Good idea.
We can do that. Oh, and I also wanted to say, you know, Andy and I and Chief Barlow have worked together on the master plan development in Black Diamond since it was even thought of. And I really like working with Andy. He pays a lot of attention to detail. And, you know, when I go there and look at review these plats, he's always there with me. And I get my my architect ruler out and I measure everything to make sure the streets are correct and the fire hydrants are correct. So I just want you to know that everybody's really watching the details on this stuff because been here long enough to know, because we do a lot of why did they do that? Why did they ever allow this to happen, right? You got narrow streets, no water, all this type, you know. You have come so far since just even 10, 15 years ago that it's good. Got a lot of water. Lot of water, good fire flow. That's important stuff. Fire hydrants, wide streets. It's great. So, and we're going to make sure that continues. So, because we don't want fire chiefs and people like Andy and Pat in the future saying, why the hell did these guys let this happen? So we don't want that. We don't want that to be like that. So
thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other department reports? So it's time for the mayor's report. On Tuesday, I attended the Southeast Area Legislative Transportation Commission, and we basically talked about our legislative agenda and revamping it from where we had talked about earlier. So we're going to redo some of that so that we're ready to go to Olympia in January. And then at noon, I met with Covington and Maple Valley, and we discussed our legislative agendas, and we kind of try to put our projects on each other's legislative agendas. And we also talked about what the TBD was going to be doing to each one of our communities and how we were going to handle it. And Covington and Maple Valley both have money in their budgets for streets and maintenance. We do not. So without the TBD, we'll be hurting. And we've been advised not to accept any of the money, but it turns out that they're not going to distribute any of it anyway until they find out what the court case is. So we will get money probably this month and next month, but then we won't get any more money. So I wanted to bring up the fact that most of the people here know that Hunter Cooper, that was elected to position number 3 on the council, resigned on Tuesday, so he's not going to take that position. So Brenda and I worked a little bit on the schedule, and then I just want you to kind of see if we can get some, if you're in agreement, that on 12/13 we would send out the request to the newspaper, and it would be printed in the paper on the 18th, and then we would have it published for 5 weeks for applicants to apply. And so it would be due January 24th. So we would do the interviews and possibly the selection at the first meeting in February on February 6th. So, yes, Councilmember Nelson.
So will this be empty or will Janie stay until someone takes over?
No, it'll be empty.
Your term is over.
Okay.
So I'm good with that.
Yes, Councilmember De Leon.
Yeah, what's, just for clarification then, what's the time frame on this, or what are we legally bound to with the number of days?
We have 90 days.
90 days.
From January 1st.
Right, from January 1st. So with that in mind, what would it look like to extend it for that window for the 90 days starting January 1st?
Well, we don't usually do that because we would be without a council member. Mm-hmm. And the sooner you get somebody in, we're actually thinking about having a retreat like in March. And so that would not work very well if we wouldn't be able to include a new council member.
We have it out for 1 month.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it's 5 weeks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mr. Linehan.
I would just add to that the city loses its authority to control the appointment process after 90 days. So if certainly having an appropriate window of time to measure interest and interview candidates is good. If you push it too close to the deadline and you don't find a candidate that you like, or if you can't agree on a candidate at that last minute, then you would lose your ability to actually pick the right person. So you want to have at least a little bit of extra padding in the schedule. Within that window, it's up to you guys to decide what kind of process you use. You can use any process you want to appoint the last. You could point to somebody in the front row tonight and make them the council member if you wanted to.
Council member Shell.
We are a pretty cohesive council, but having an even number of council members for a long time could really be a problem. So, you know,
we kind of need to have a tiebreaker. We need to be able to have a majority vote at some point if there's an issue that's controversial. So I think, you know, we expanded to a seven-member council on purpose, and having six members on our council for a long period of time could be problematic if something came up that we were concerned about. And, you know, I certainly don't foresee anything, but it could happen.
Councilmember Deedy?
Well, sorry. Okay. David and Aaron both stated what I was going to say, so you're good.
Councilmember Edelman.
Well, all I was going to add to the conversation is that using our most recent appointments as an example, with both Pat and Steve, we had two open slots. We had two applicants. So it's not like the public is beating down the door to come and sit in this chair. So personally, and I don't have a dog in this fight in the next couple weeks. I won't. It's just easier. Get it done with, you know, 4 or 5 weeks to have people apply is plenty of time. That gives the council enough time to look at the applications. Some people may not even be qualified. Then it's up to the council to decide who they want to interview. You know, and, you know, three of us have been through that process, so we know what that's like. And I think just sooner rather than later.
Councilmember Page?
I guess I can appreciate your interest or concern to have ample notice, and I totally support that, because I think it's important for the council to not leave an impression with the public that we're kind of ramrodding something through. That being said, I agree with the comments that we don't really want to leave it open till the last minute. Could you just reiterate the timeline schedule, Mayor?
So the 13th, we would send the request for applications to the newspaper. It would be published on 12/18, and then they would be due on Friday, January 24th, usually at 4 o'clock. And that's 5 weeks from the day that it would be published. And then we would have interviews the following week, which was, is it the following? Oh, no, there's an, yeah, it would be the first meeting in February, which would be February 6th. So just like you guys got interviewed, we would interview whoever applied. We would apply, we interview everybody. The only time that we would disqualify somebody is if they haven't lived here for a year. So they have to live here for a year.
Voter registration.
And a registered voter. Sorry about that. Yeah. So there's two things that would disqualify them.
And so February 6th would be the target interview date.
Yes.
And then when would be the voting?
The what?
The same day.
The same day. We would do it the same way we did it with you. We would do the interviews and the selection on the same day if you came to consensus. If you didn't come to consensus on that day, during the executive session, you could say, I wish to do the interviews and then have us go away and do it at the next meeting. Or call a special.
Yeah, you could also decide that none of the candidates were what you were looking for, and you could open it up again for another round if, you know, again, you'd have until March 30th, basically, to get it done. So, but again, the process is totally up to you. You don't even have to have a process. You can just, like I said, you can just pick somebody. But if you want to have time to evaluate and collect people's interest and evaluate what they forward for their qualifications, you know, you just probably need to build in a little time so that you're not trying to get it done the last meeting in March.
And I guess my only concern is, I'm just going to bring it up, is that there was a bit of concern with our appointment, that there was no opportunity for really the public to know who the candidates were and to make any public comment. So, I mean, I don't know if that's appropriate, necessary, or not, but I guess I would want to consider that.
Well, we've done a lot of appointment I was appointed, Janie was appointed, and we've always used this, and Chris Wisnowski was appointed, and you two were appointed. So there, a lot of us were appointed when we first came on council. And the process has, I thought, always worked very well, didn't get a lot of negative feedback on that process. But, you know, it's up to you because you're the ones that are picking. So, Councilmember Edelman?
Well, it's not really up to us. We have the revised Code of Washington that states that if there is a vacancy, that would be an appointment by the city council. Now, there are certain members of the public that were a little upset because of the process that you two went through, but it is the legal process. Now, in 2 years, whoever then is selected for position number three has to go through the election. So they're not here for 4 years. They're here for 2 years, and that's what happened to me. I was selected. I think I was actually on here for 3 years, and then I had to run. So that's the state law. That's what we have to do.
Councilmember De Leon.
Sure. And I absolutely agree that we want to make sure we're not in limbo with a lack of a tiebreaker for an extended period of time. I do know that there was a considerable number of feedback that I was hearing from Black Diamond neighbors who just thought that they weren't made aware in time. And I think that with the extra time and taking, and I'm glad to hear that we are pushing that for 5 weeks in the newspaper, that we are continuing to make sure we find avenues to reach as many people as we can who fit those qualifications. Just to, I think, make sure that we're setting forth that we are transparent, that we're open, and that we can invite as many people to this position as possible with a full understanding. It is 2 years, and of course, then it's an election after that. But just keeping in mind that that's kind of why I'm making sure that we're really mindful of the fact that we're wisely using those 90 days and not rushing to that decision, while at the same time understanding that we do need to make sure that we're getting business done and that we have council seats filled sooner rather than later.
Councilmember Deedy.
So, Councilmember Page, back to your question on how do we get citizens to know who is applying for those positions. The council could easily, and the mayor, put out, you know, if we get an application in, let's say within the first 2 weeks, we can easily say Stephen Page has applied and his qualifications are up on the website or anywhere so that people, citizens, can be able to look up and say, okay, here's one person who's running for council position number three, and so on. So that's out there in the public, and the council can talk about that. The other thing that was mentioned, remember now, I can't remember what it was, but that would help too. Is just letting people know when that comes up who's running. The other thing is also council should be out and talking to the public all the time. Mm-hmm. We're always out there. And we should be able to say and should say, you know, there is an open seat right now. We need people to apply. Everybody I talk to looks at me like I'm crazy. But, you know, it helps to get out there and just let people know, you know, hey, there is a position open. Maybe they know somebody who's been thinking about, they didn't want to run, but they wouldn't mind trying to get on the council through an interview process. So it does help to go out. I would love to see somebody in Ten Trails apply. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see somebody in Morgan Creek, mm-hmm. in awesome. The areas yeah. out, you know, mm-hmm. that have, you know, we've got Lake Sawyer, we've got plenty of us in Old Town. It'd be nice to see some new citizens that have been here a year or two, like Chris Wanowski was. To get on the council and also have new outlook or guiding us into the new near future. So that's my hope, and I think we'll find some good people to get on here.
Councilmember Nelson.
I'm just glad to be on this side of the interview process. I've gone through it before, and this is brutal. Ours wasn't as rough as the last one. The last one was really brutal. But the thing is running for city council, a lot of people don't understand what it takes, and when they find out, they run from the idea. And we all have a mouthpiece. We all can definitely get the word out. And, you know, there's people I'm thinking of that did fill her spot just fine that I'll be calling as well as. I say 5 weeks is, I mean, I've seen it go shorter, I've seen it go longer, but I think that we've seen what happens when you have a majority that has ill intent or people that want to divide the city. And I don't think we need an empty seat any as little as possible. That's why I asked viewers, thanks. I wasn't sure how the process worked, and I hate to see an empty seat in the council.
Councilmember Page.
Just my final word is I just would like to be on record that I'd like the public to have some sort of opportunity for public comment for whatever it's worth, because that was a concern in the last appointment. And personally for me, I didn't like feeling part of something that could be construed as under the board. Whether it was or not, it doesn't matter. It's the appearance, and I didn't like that. And I'm not saying that the council did anything wrong. I'm just saying if we can just address that really easily and amend the schedule here, it might only push it out 1 week.
Well, one of the things, we will have 2 weeks between the meeting. So if we get all the applications in, Brenda can make sure that they're qualified probably within a day, and publish all of those applications right away, which will be almost 2 weeks before the meeting, which will be a lot more than what was published last time. Last time it was published the week before. But this time
right,
it would
but
be,
the complaint was the public didn't have an opportunity
well,
to public comment.
Well, we can let them. Yeah, we can just change the agenda and put the public comments in front of the selection. Councilmember DeLeon.
Yeah, I second what fully in agreement with what Councilmember Page says. Is I think there are some great opportunities for the last appointment session to be a great learning opportunity for just how we make sure we fine tune those details to really make it clear to the public that this is an open seat, this is an open process, and even those kind of details like making sure there's just more ample time for comments and for people to read and reflect and have time to respond, that we're collecting as many people from as many parts of the city as possible, will just, I think, also help in that ongoing healing process of a lot of the terrible things that happened years ago. And so I'm just going to fully back that up, that just being really mindful of how we do it is going to make a huge difference in how our city continues to come together.
Okay.
So I'm good with that schedule that you put out. So did you need a vote on that, or are you good to just go?
No. I think that as long as we can publicize them, we'll change the schedule so the public comments are ahead of the appointment process. So that should clear up most of the public comment issue.
And I make one more comment. Not only is it going to be in the newspaper as an ad, but it's also posted on the website. And there's a lot of people out there that don't come to these meetings that look on the website in probably the spotlight section.
Public
notices. So the information is going to be out there. Now, I think it's great if you guys can pull it out, and there'll be some redactions when the applications go out, because there are things that, you know, the public doesn't need to know. I mean, if you want to find an address on the internet anymore, you can find it. But I think that's great. But there are two places where it would be advertised.
Mm-hmm. And posted.
Mm-hmm.
We posted it.
And the library.
And
around town,
the library,
too.
And the post
and
office
here
and communities.
And it'll probably be in our newsletter. Since
for the mafia for you.
Yep.
Well, and we'll have it in the newsletter that goes out in the next couple of weeks. So
yeah.
So that goes to all the citizens. So now it's time for council reports. Council Member Oglesby.
Thank you, Mayor. I attended the safety meeting today, which was shared by what we talked about earlier from Chief, so thank you. And on that, it's been just busy week, getting ready for the holidays. So that's my report.
Council Member Edelman.
Well, I went to the Public Works meeting and also Public Safety today. Last night was the Sound Cities Association
annual membership dinner. The keynote speaker was the president of the University of Washington, so that was interesting. And it was really fun to be able to say goodbye to some of my elected buddies who also are not going to be back next year.
Councilmember Stout?
Thank you. I attended the Public Works meeting and the Finance Committee meeting and the special meeting last week where we had a public hearing and the swearing-in of our new council member, De Leon. Welcome. I don't think I got a chance to say that publicly. I also attended the Sound Cities Association networking dinner last night. Interesting to listen to the president of University of Washington. She has an amazing background, and she expressed all kinds of different programs that they're working on. Her background is in, I can't remember what
psychology.
They called her degree, but she has done a lot of work with children and homelessness and psychological integration. And she talked about the tent city that they did at the university a couple of years ago, and they're going to try to do another one. But she said that they had the various colleges interact with the people at the tent city. They had the nursing students doing foot care, and they had various other colleges who were interacting and helping and supporting those people to kind of lift them up and out of their desperate situations. She said one of the important things about siting that tent city was it needed to be close to public transportation because most of those people have to get up and go to work from their tent camping department. So it was just a really interesting conversation. She was a very down-to-earth individual. And then my my great day spent reading Platt. What is it? V24. Once again, I enjoy those kind of intense reading opportunities, just like reading through the comp plan or our municipal code. It seems like fairly dry reading, but this is the work of the city. This is the baseline stuff that is making things happen in this community. And once again, I just am always really impressed by reading the professional documents that come our way. Thank you.
Councilmember De Leon.
Yeah, so this has been an amazing day and a half, as I've kind of been putting it now, being in the city council. And I've really valued the opportunity, just this whole process, even just with the election itself, of getting to talk with so many different people, going through these neighborhoods and really listening to the concerns of what people brought up and their questions they had. And it's that, with that in mind, it's just been an ongoing learning process for me. So I've really appreciated that opportunity to come with that understanding of what that means to be elected into this position. But at the same time, I also know how much there's still more to learn on all these positions. And I really value all of the great work that our city employees are doing to really make sure that there's really quality information, that things are meticulously handled, and that it's just so it's available to the public. And there's a lot to be said about the fact that I can go and meet with any public official or any city hall employee and be able to sit down and talk about this. I did this before a few months ago, and now just on Monday, right before I was sworn in, to be able to talk with Ms. Miller and to tour around with Andy Williamson and be able to kind of go through this material, because it's a lot to take in. You know, my first day in, really going through a budget and then going through a lot to be said about, you know, legal processes. And I appreciate the time that everyone's taking to make sure that I can be informed in that decision-making process. So there's a lot to know, and it's one of those things where I'm learning what I need to learn, but I really appreciate everyone's support in that process. Also, I guess before that, I was able to attend the Kiwanis Thanksgiving dinner, too, and I saw a lot of other council members there, and that was a really great community event, and I'm looking forward to doing more of those events with the city going forward. And again, I really appreciate that spirit of coming together that I saw there, too. So thank you, everyone.
Councilmember Nelson.
We finalized that big rush, the Sherman Food Drive Challenge. And thank you to the police department and the city for donating to the local community center. That was awesome. We came up with 64,000 pounds of food that's going to go to the three cities. And the cash is the nonprofits figuring out how they're going to deliberate between that. I closed out the safety meeting today. Before coming here tonight, I was actually at the Christmas tree lighting in Maple Valley. And the best part about it was they were late, so I got here on time and missed it actually going on. I don't know how. We have an amazing Christmas lighting. We have the what we do at the community center is amazing. But to take over all or three of four corners and have people crossing all the streets is, to me, is, I don't know how they do it because I wouldn't do it. They got folks going from Johnson's to Fred Meyer's to Safeway and families going back and forth. And there's probably 2,000 people there. And so it was interesting. And on last Tuesday, I went to the Covington City Council meeting and met with some of the new council members there. So that was good.
Councilmember Page.
Okay. So I guess I'll start with my props part of my report. So, Janie, I want to take the opportunity to thank you for your service on the council and appreciate the prodding that you gave me.
We're neighbors.
But so I really do appreciate that, and I guess I'm be looking forward to hearing from you on the other side, and hopefully
guaranteed.
We'll do. Wanted to welcome Christiana. So welcome to council. I think your input will be, you know, really valuable, and speak up, and I'm sure you will. David, really want to thank you for your proactive communication. On the short time I've been here, I've seen it really be valuable to me. And I know that you're in tune to the fact that we have young council members. Maybe I probably am going to be the youngest, right? Because Beth's been around here. Well, not on the council, but involved more. So I appreciate that, really do. And congratulations on your new firm. And Andy, I just wanted to say, I hope you feel my trust in you. And I will thank you in advance for your patience with all of my questions and stuff like that. So, 'cause I really have to come up to speed to the point where, you know, I'm able to kind of hold my own with the other council members in terms of knowledge and whatnot like that. And I ask for the council members' patience as well on that. So so that's kind of finishes the prop section, I guess. Really am glad to hear that Upward is going to be involved and active here in Black Diamond. It's
that's awesome.
In Spokane. My kids went through that program, and it's just really a great format that they have that's competitive but compassionate, I guess, is maybe the best way to say it, because my son was a red band, he was a purple band, which means that they're really nice kids, but maybe not gifted. And they don't have to know that. So anyways, but if you've been around Upward, you'll know what I mean. So, and really glad that our police are such compassionate people to have undertaken that effort and contributed you know, a significant amount of money to Vine Maple Place. So I guess that ends the prop section, actually. So two concerns, and they're both kind of traffic related. One is I was approached by a resident about a concern with The safety on 3rd Avenue between Roberts and Lawson. And I know that we made a traffic change on Park Street where that's now a one-way where you can't come up off of Park and turn on to 3rd Avenue, which I think is probably a good safety feature. But I do have a little bit of a concern because if people can't go out that way, and particularly if there's a ball game there or something like that, then that's going to change the traffic flow onto, I believe that would be 2nd, to come around and go by the post office and come out that way by Black Diamond Auto, or to the only other way would be on the local access gravel road. I think it's railroad, but I don't think it's really anything. So I guess what I would say is I'm bringing that up as two concerns, but really the one concern is the traffic flow there. I'm sure the staff's looking at that and trying to evaluate what the impact of that traffic change might be. But the other is the resident. I asked him to come and make a public comment because I think that's a better venue than me making the comment. But the concern was, we've got areas in the city that are 25 miles an hour. That area is 35 miles an hour. And it's a dangerous place. And those houses are really close to that road nonetheless. So I just wanted to kind of make that comment as part of my report.
Councilmember Deedy.
All right. So SCA dinner, the SCALTC meeting with the mayor about our legislative document, Public Works, Thanksgiving dinner. So now I just want to get right to, I was happy to hear about council retreat because that was one of my things on here, that we are a really young council. We have two members that are going to be brand new that are, Christiana. We have two members that are within 3 months, and we have two members that are 2 years here. We've only had one council retreat, and that's when Stout and Melissa got on. And that really was more for city staff to get caught up, everybody caught up with what's going on. Right. So this council retreat that the mayor's talking about is the council's. This is the council's retreat. This is something that you need to go in and say, this is my priority. What's my priority? What's your priority? I have no idea what anybody's priorities are on this council, where the direction is going. So if I don't know, I'm assuming our public doesn't know and our staff doesn't know. So we really need to have a really good facilitator. And I did talk to Margaret Harto from Covington, and she says their facilitator is awesome. He'll call, he'll talk to each of you, talk to staff, just get everybody, no games or whatever. It's just, get in there at 7:30 in the morning, get out by 3, and have, a good idea of what everybody's going for, and follow through and get back. So it's really important that this council has a council retreat and that we do it every year, that we don't let it slip and we don't do it. So we can have it anywhere. I know some people go clear to over the mountain. We can have it anywhere. It's open to the public, so if they want to come, they can. But generally, we've had it at the bakery. We've had it at the police station. It can be anywhere. And I don't care where it's held. It just needs to happen every year. And then just a quick note on removing an item from the consent agenda. That doesn't need a vote. That's not a voting thing. One member can move that off the consent agenda, and nobody can say, hey, I don't want to move that off. That's a council member's right to have that discussion. If you make it a vote thing, then maybe council didn't want to. Everybody else was fine with it, so they would vote no. And then that one member's like, but wait, I wanted to talk about that. So That doesn't need a vote. No vote at all for that. It just automatically gets taken off. And then, let's see, Park Street, you talked about that. I was going to also talk about that. So it is a one direction. A little bit, I know we talked about wayfinding signs. We do need those. So maybe something on 2nd Avenue right there by the post office could maybe direct people to understand that you can go to Lake Sawyer if you took a right, you know, or if you took a left on to 169, you get to Maple Valley. But hopefully people at the ballpark will come in and they'll already know ways to get out of there. And I think the speed limit is 25 through there. I don't believe it's 30. I think it's 25 on arterial roads. Let's see. So also this weekend, the Christmas tree lighting is at the Black Diamond Community Center on Friday from 5:30 on. 6 o'clock is when Santa gets escorted by the police department. So make sure you have your kids there so they can see that. 10 Trails has a hometown Christmas lighting event going on Saturday. I believe that starts at 3. I know that the fire department will be there from 3 to 5 giving out helmets. So that's also on Saturday at the 10 Trails. And that's all I got. That's the next weekend.
Okay, do we have an attorney's report?
That's my hair.
So this is time for the second public comments. If you wish to address council, please step up to the podium and state your name and city of residence and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Is there anybody wishing to address council? James.
James Stout, Black Diamond. In light of the past election and the past appointments, we've had very little challenges. There were each of these, Stephen and Patrick, they were the only ones who applied for those positions. We had Janie, your seat was just one person applied, and I think it would be great if the city council, the administrative staff, could brainstorm what they can do to increase public awareness, thank you, to decrease the apathy that we have. Something needs to be done. The website is politely, it doesn't work. Yeah. And to look something up, it is really not doable. And so that can, if you rely on that to be the forum, you're sadly mistaken. So the administrative staff and the city council, the mayor, you need to figure out something to make the actual citizens more aware, because to have individuals like each seat, each thing, just like unopposed, basically, and then you have a person doesn't even take their seat, and they were the token person. Where this is actually a major problem. This is the problem. So we have these two gentlemen here who had no competition, and they didn't even have to. And they thought they were in the hot seat. They even didn't have to go through an election process. They didn't go knocking on doors. And so I hope you can brainstorm and figure something out. And I want to thank Councilmember Ellsman for all that you've done. When my wife was going through campaigning, you were a resource to her. And since she's been on the council, you have been a mentor. And it's meant a lot to me to see that she has your support. And also Tammy, the two senior individuals. here. And so thank you very much.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Brock?
Brock Deedy, Black Diamond. I wanted to say thank you to Janie as well. She got us involved with this 8 years ago. A little bit, right? So it was good to have you be a part of it, and it's sorry to see you leave, but maybe Tammy will take that hint in 4 years. And then
she has to be as old as I am.
So then Aaron mentioned that meeting last night about the president of the University of Washington coming in. And one thing that I, you know, I work for Boeing, and one of our, one of the things that we strive to do is be innovative. And she had made a comment that the University of Washington is the most innovative university in the world. And so she made a couple comments about that where, you know, you're innovative in technology and make a lot of gadgets. Things are really cool and they make things more efficient. But what she was impressed with is that they're innovative in the way that, okay, we're going to replace this person's job with a robot, and we're going to be innovative in how we're going to replace, we're going to make that person that's going to be replaced by a robot something else that they can do so that they're not being displaced. They're having another opportunity to do something even better. So they're innovative in the way that they take innovation and make it a positive thing, even for people that are maybe being displaced by innovation. So so I thought that was interesting because Boeing's trying to be a little bit more innovative. And you always think innovation is how to make things better and easier and faster. And a lot of times that's, you know, digitally or robotically or those kinds of things. And when a mechanic says, here's that, I'm going to be replaced by a robot, I'm not going to think that's a good use of technology because I'm going to lose my job. But if you look at it as it's going to make this opportunity more efficiency and I'm going to be displaced and I'm going to go to something even better and be able to utilize my skills even better. So those good things. And I thought it was incredible to hear that we've got a university here that is the most innovative university in the world. So I thought that was cool.
Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment session. There are no executive session. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.